Elvis, the man, his music, and his life, as told in his own words, in his music, and by those who knew him and worked with him. In this hour, we will pick up the story about Elvis and his life when something major was going to happen to him that would change his life and even his work habits. Elvis is about to get married. The stories of Elvis and the Memphis Mafia are legend. They abound everywhere when you talk about Elvis. But soon, a woman would enter into his life, and many of those in the Memphis Mafia would wonder what would happen to their role with Elvis. After all, Elvis had been depending on his friends around him for several years now. Those around him were much more than bodyguards, much more than advisors, much more than friends and playmates. That's right, I said playmates. His pals would play games with Elvis to help him break up the tension that surrounded his life as being the king of music and entertainment. Elvis was not easy on himself. His quest for perfection is legend in the recording studio. Bones Howe, who had worked with Elvis back in Hollywood as his recording engineer, had this to say about Elvis and the games he played.
I think that those fellas have been very loyal to Elvis, and I think that Elvis, in turn, is very loyal to them. Those fellas in his entourage, whatever level they're on intellectually, are very sincere guys, as far as Elvis is concerned. And I think they have an understanding. Those are the guys that he runs the street with. He understands that he supports them, and they understand that they work for him. And I think that's the understanding.
Al Blaine was a much sought-after drummer, and he played on the Elvis Presley sessions recorded in California. When in the recording studio, the tension was everywhere. The members of the Memphis Mafia and Elvis would work out their tension in a very unique way.
There were times when maybe he would get a little uptight on a session, and everyone could feel that tension. It went across the room. If Elvis was bugged by a song or a particular note or a particular change in the music, you know, you would just feel that he was a little bugged about it or perturbed. Maybe he wanted it louder, softer, whatever. And so the minute that would happen, that was sort of the cue for all the guys to start their fun and games. Somebody would go over and give Elvis a karate chop in the back of the neck, you know. He would turn around and throw a karate kick up at one of the guys. And before you know it, they were having karate parties. And it used to break the tension for Elvis. I mean,
this movie song with Elvis about trouble has more than one meaning. Elvis knew how to deal with trouble in many ways. And even though he could handle trouble, he preferred things to run rather smoothly.
If you're looking for trouble, you came to the right place. If you're looking for trouble, just look right in my face. I was born standing up and talking back. My daddy was a green-eyed mountain jack because I'm so don't you mess around with me. I never looked for trouble, but I never ran. I don't take no orders, no kind of man. I'm only made out of flesh, blood, and bone. But if you're gonna start a rumble, don't you try it all alone, because I'm so don't you mess around with me. I'm evil, evil, evil as you be. So don't mess around with me. I'm evil.
60s were an unusual time for Elvis, mostly just making movies, but he did a few other things as well, and we'll get into that in a moment. And in fact, before the decade was over, he was not only married, but he was a papa. But before we get into that story, let's talk about Colonel Parker and how he made sure that Elvis did movie after movie after movie, formula movie, not much to be proud of, but lots of money coming in. Money was no problem. In fact, John Hartman, who worked for Colonel Tom Parker, tells this story about a fellow who walked into the office and thought he would pay $50,000 to get Elvis for a day.
There was a story about the man who walked into the colonel's office not quite knowing who he was, and in order to impress the colonel, laid down $50,000 in cash on the colonel's desk and said he wanted to buy Elvis Presley for a one-nighter, and expected the colonel to be impressed by the obviously large amount of money on the table. And the colonel calmly and quietly, without counting the money or checking it out at any serious level, pushed it across the desk and said, "It's not enough."
The colonel had his own ideas about the Elvis Presley image, and by the end of the 60s, Elvis would have morphed into a family man and very conservative politically. But for now, in the middle 60s, Elvis was busy making money, and the best way to do that was making racy pictures. Literally, he made three race car pictures with female superstars themselves. But the colonel liked these female stars with sex appeal, and one of them was Nancy Sinatra, who burst onto the scene with a rock and roll song, "These Boots Are Made for Walking."
You keep saying you got something for me, something you call love, but confess, you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing, and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. You keep playing where you shouldn't be playing, and you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Ha! I just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah. And what he knows you ain't had time to learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, boots? Start walking.
Speedway was the name of the picture that Elvis and Nancy Sinatra starred in, and Nancy played the unlikely role of a tax collector. Interestingly enough, in that picture, Elvis did a song about politics, and it was fairly conservative, the message. He's not your dad, he's your uncle.
He's your uncle, not your dad. He's the best friend you ever had. So come on, dig, dig, dig in until it hurts. Just remember Pearl Harbor, the Alamo, and nothing could be worse. He's your favorite relative, and he needs a lot to live. So just bring, bring, bring everything until you bleed, and he'll send back what he don't need. If your naughty form 1040 is your salvation, by deprivation of temptation, stocks and bonds I hear are not deductible. Oh, say, can you see if there's anything left for me? When he calls you, as he may do, don't be frightened, red, white, and blue. Just be thankful you don't live in Leningrad. He's your uncle, not your dad. You're honest, you don't have to shake and shiver. The food is lousy up the river. It's give and take, and he does all the taking. Oh, say, can you see if there's anything left for me? Life has two things you can't subtract. Death and taxes, to be exact. So just pay, 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 periodically be glad. He's your uncle, he's your uncle, not your dad.
We're having a contest this week in this Elvis show. It will be announcing the winner, but you still have time to enter. And what it is an essay, 25 words or less, Why I Wish Elvis Were Still Alive. Just send it to me, Jerry, at jerrypippin.com. That's Jerry at jerrypippin.com. 25 words or less, Why I Wish Elvis Were Still Alive. We'll announce it at the end of the program, the series, program number 8, later in the show. But you still have time to get your entry in. Just send me an email, Jerry at jerrypippin.com. It's a nice Elvis t-shirt. We'll talk more about it in the next segment of Elvis, the man, his life, and his music.